Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 46, Uddhava visits Vrindavan, text number 44. Evam nishasha bravato vyatita.
Evam nishasha bravato vyatita.
Nandasya krishnanu charasya rajan. Gopya sumataya nirupya dipan. Vastun samabhyarcha dadhinya amantan. Evam nishasa bruvato vyatita.
Evam nishasa bruvato vyatita.
Nandasya krishnanu charasya rajan. Gopya sumuttaya nirupya dipan. Vastun samabhyarcha tadhinya amantan. Evam nishasa bhuvato vyatita. Nandasya krishnanu charasya rajan. Gopya sumutaya nirupya dipam. Vastun samabhyarcha tadhinya mantan. Evam. In this way. Nisha. The night. Sa, that, bruvato, as they were both speaking, vyatita, was finished. Nandasya, Nanda Maharaj, Krishna Anucharasya, and the servant of Krishna, Uddhava.
Rajan.
O King. Parikshit. Gopyaha. The cowherd women. Samutaya. Rising from sleep. Nirupya. Lighting.
Deepan.
Lamps. Vastun. The domestic deities. Samabhyarcha, worshipping, Tadhini, curds, Amantan, churned. While Krishna's messenger continued speaking with Nanda, the night ended, O King. The women of the cowherd village rose from bed and, lighting lamps, worshipped their household deities. Then they began churning the yogurt into butter. Tadipta diptoe manibhi bireju rajur vikarshad bhujakankana srajaha chalanitamba stanahara kundala tvishat kapalaruna kumkumanano. As they pulled on the churning ropes with their bangled arms, the women of Braja shone with the splendour of their jewels which reflected the lamp's light. Their hips, breasts and necklaces moved about and their faces anointed with reddish kumkum glowed radiantly with the lustre of their earrings reflected from their cheeks.
Udgayatinam arabindalochanam prajangananam divamaspishadvani dhadnascha nirmantana sabdamishvito nirasyate jena dvishamma mangalam.
As the ladies of Braja loudly sang the glories of lotus-eyed Krishna, their songs blended with the sound of their churning, ascended to the sky and dissipated all inauspiciousness in every direction. Purport. The gopis were absorbed in thought of Krishna and were thus feeling his presence, therefore they could joyfully sing.
Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chachur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopristam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Kadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Garim Yatri Patamam Bande Sri Guru Tinatarinam.
So the residents of Vrindavan are engaged in their regular morning duties, rising early. We can see it's before sunrise because they're lighting lamps. So it means it's very early in the morning, not just after the sun has risen. In fact, in the next verse, they notice that Uddhava is there because they see the chariot of the king. But they hadn't noticed previously that he had arrived. Because if you remember, when he came, many of the residents of Vrindavan didn't notice because they were absorbed in their household affairs. And with all of the commotion and activity and the atmosphere of service at the end of the day, then they hadn't noticed that Uddhava had arrived. And he's just spent the night at the house of Nanda Maharaj discussing topics about Krishna, Krishna Katha, which is the nature of the devotees, and we're seeing it here. Basically, the Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for those who are feeling separation from Krishna. The whole topic of the Bhagavatam is about how to relieve. Who does one go to? Just like there are six questions being asked by the sages of Namasharanya, and one of those questions is, you know, where will people go when Krishna has left the planet? Where will people seek religiosity, dharma? In fact, in one sense, in many parts of the Bhagavatam, there is an anticipation of Krishna's departure. So even before Krishna has left, there are feelings of separation. This is how keenly the devotees feel about Krishna. This is how deep their love is for Krishna, that they're concerned about what will we do when Krishna departs? What will happen to us? Even the queens of Dwarka, they're worried, they're concerned about Krishna's leaving them. so the question is asked, you know, who will people go to? Where will people go when Krishna departs for his abode? And it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam has risen like the sun. Puranaku no uditaha. Udita means rising up. This Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam is the Purana. Puranaku no uditaha is like the sun. And it has arisen in the age of Kali to dissipate the darkness of separation from Krishna. After all, that's what the material world is. The material world is a place of separation from Krishna. As mentioned previously, you know, why is it that Krishna appears? Even though he is detached from the material creation, and he himself has no karma, he also is not the cause of anybody's happiness or distress. Why is it that he creates the material world? Why is it that people are suffering happiness and distress as a result of his arrangements? Of course, it's explained that Krishna can't be faulted for the happiness and distress of the living entities, because that's their desire. It's not that Krishna wants to create the material world, but rather the material world is created as a result of the desires that each of the living entity has. Each of the living entities have, and it's to facilitate their desires to be separate from Krishna. In the 7th chapter it's mentioned, Icha Dvesha Samuddena, that each living entity is Dvandva Mohina Bharata. Each living entity is born into illusion as a result of desire and hate. Things that I like and things that I don't want. We're all born into come into the world each lifetime with great aspirations. I want lots of this and I don't want any of that. But usually we get all of the things that we don't want, none of the things that we do want. Or when we do get the things that we want, they're never enough and they're not satisfying. So everybody is suffering in the material world. So then, why is it? Because as a result of that desire, desire to actually take Krishna's position. We want to be the supreme controller, the supreme enjoyer. We want the creation to revolve around us. But that's not possible. That position is a state of ignorance. And as a result of our ignorance, therefore, we are destined to enjoy temporarily and then to suffer also momentarily as a result of our desire. So Krishna facilitates that. He can't be blamed for that, because that's our desire. But he himself, when he appears, actually his appearance in the material world is not at all under the karmas of past reactions like ours. The Supreme Brahman is not subject to action and reaction. Although he appears, his appearance is actually for the benefit of the devotees. Paritranaya sadhunam vinasaya cha duskritam. To protect the devotees and to destroy them, to root out the ignorance, if you like, of the demonic mentality. And so therefore Krishna's pastimes in the material world are actually an emblem, and the activities of his devotees are emblems of the pure spiritual activities that exist eternally in the spiritual realm, manifest to attract those in ignorance. And Krishna doesn't take birth. When Krishna takes, just as the Supreme Brahman can't be influenced by the modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. So similarly also, Krishna doesn't take birth in the wombs of the living entities affected by the modes of material nature, but rather he appears in the association of his pure devotees, who are not touched by the material energy. The devotees are not part, actually, of the material realm. So Prabhupada gives the example. The activities of the devotees in Vrindavan are like the activities of the consulate or the ambassador of a country who lives in another country but is actually the representative of the country that they come from. So similarly also Krishna's appearance and the performance of his pastimes in the material world are not of the material world but actually of the spiritual world. Demonstrating to everyone the purity and the potency and the power of devotional service, especially the devotional service of the residents of Vrindavan. We're seeing here Nanda Maharaj, and as we're about to see, the next chapter takes us into a discussion amongst the gopis. And Uddhava is going to relish and get an opportunity to appreciate the exalted character and nature of the gopis and their mood of separation from Krishna. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is designed, its purpose is to give people an opportunity to relieve themselves from the anxieties and the sufferings that exist in the material world as a result of our ignorance, and as a result of that ignorance, our separation from Krishna. So here we see the women of the cowherd village. They've risen early in the morning. So what do? Yes, they get up and they do their Mangalartik. Then they start doing their puja. While they're churning the butter, then they're chanting Hare Krishna. But they're always chanting Hare Krishna. They're always thinking of Krishna. No, the residents of Vrindavan don't have to take vows to chant a certain number of Hare Krishna mantras every day, because the chanting of Hare Krishna is so attractive and so satisfying that when one has a real taste for it, one can't stop chanting Hare Krishna. The only reason why we have to chant take a vow to chant 16 rounds a day is because we don't have a taste. We don't have the same taste for chanting. Otherwise, the taking a vow of chanting a certain number of rounds would not be necessary. And certainly for those who have deep attachment and taste, ruchi, they get a taste out of chanting, then there's no... they'll be chanting all the time. That's the nature of chanting Hare Krishna. And there's a story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how one of the devotees chastises Lord Chaitanya for chanting in the going to the toilet. And Lord Chaitanya makes a comment, I have to bite my tongue. Hold my tongue between my teeth because I can't stop it from chanting. So we see that in the character of the residents of Vrindavan, that they can't stop chanting. Matschita natkata prana bodhayanta parasparam. It's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Katayantascha mam nityam. There's a qualification of the devotees. Katayantascha mam nityam. They're always talking about me. Nitya means always. Or regularly. Regularly. Every day, in other words. As is mentioned in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. By regularly. Nashta Priyeshava Bhadreshu. Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. By regularly rendering service to the Bhagavatam. We render service to the Bhagavatam by having somebody speak on the topics, and then we hear. Nityam. This is our seva. This is Bhagavat seva. One aspect of Bhagavat seva. Bhagavat seva also is manifest in rendering service to the devotees, especially to the spiritual master. As is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, if we don't have a taste for hearing and chanting the Srimad Bhagavatam, then what we're recommended to do? We're recommended to render service to the devotees, because by rendering service to the devotees, then a natural, spontaneous desire to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam will be awakened. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the recommended, that Bhagavat Seva is recommended for the devotees, especially in the Kali Yuga. Krishna has departed for his own abode. So now who are we to turn to? It's recommended that we turn to the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita it's mentioned Krishna Surya Sam. The Bhagavatam is likened to the sun, right? Puranaka no uditaha. Arka means the sun. Udita means the sun rising up. Because when the sun rises up, then all of the ignorance of night is dissipated. Huh? You can see things as they are. At night, when it's dark, you just hear a sound and think, ooh, what's that? And some fear arises out of ignorance, being confronted with the unknown. But of course, when the sun rises, that same sound loses its significance. You don't even notice it. Because you can see everything around you. So similarly also, Krishna Surya Sam. Krishna is like the sun, Maya Hoya Andhakar. The Maya is like the darkness. But wherever there is Krishna, then just as wherever there is the sun, then darkness cannot be. So wherever there is Krishna consciousness, wherever there is a regular discussion of the Srimad Bhagavatam, then ignorance can't exist in that place. So we see in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see the example of the gopis modelling this behaviour, naturally modelling it. They don't have to do it in a regulated fashion. They just naturally do it. Rise early in the morning, worship. They're not worshipping Krishna, actually. They're worshipping Lord Narayan. Because Lord Narayan is also Krishna. They're Vaishnavas. Worshipping Lord Vishnu. But as they're churning the butter, performing their household duties, then they're just spontaneously talking and chanting Krishna's glories, which is what the Srimad Bhagavatam does. And then what's the result of their discussion of the Srimad Bhagavatam? What is the result of the discussion of the Srimad Bhagavatam? What's the result of them being absorbed in thought of Krishna? It's mentioned here. Udgayati nam. They're loudly singing. Udgayati nam. Gaya means singing. Udgayati nam. Singing very loudly. Aravinda lochanam. Praja angananam. Divam asprishatvani. The chanting of the residents of Vrindavan is touching the sky.
Shabda mishrita nirasyate jena disham amangalam.
And so, as a result of that, all inauspiciousness of being separated from Krishna is dissipated.
Amangalam means inauspicious.
Just like we have Mangalarti, that means auspicious. Amangala means inauspicious. But when one engages in hearing and chanting about Krishna, then all inauspiciousness is dissipated, dissolved, just like the darkness. When the sun rises up, then the darkness is automatically dissipated. One can then see what one couldn't see before. So similarly, when one is engaged in hearing and chanting about Krishna, then one becomes enlivened, as we mentioned the other day. Satam prasangam mama viyo sambhido bhavanti hritkana rasayana kata. The hearing and chanting of Krishna's glories is like the rasayanam, tonic. It's a tonic for the devotees. And it has great potency. Mama virya sambhido, Krishna says. It has the same potency as myself. Just as is mentioned in the Shikshastika. Nam nam makari bahu daha nija sarva shaktis. The chanting of Hare Krishna, the names of Krishna are endowed with the same potencies as Krishna. So similarly also, Krishna's pastimes are also non-different from Krishna. And they're endowed with the same potency. So by hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna, as is demonstrated here by the residents of Vrindavan, it removes all inauspiciousness, makes one enthusiastic. If one follows the process of hearing and chanting properly, puts some effort, it actually requires effort to stay awake. For a start. But we see that in the character of Maharaj Parikshit. He was so absorbed in hearing the message from Maharaj Parikshit, he didn't eat or sleep for 7 days. You see that also in the character of the six Goswamis. What is that? They conquered over eating and sleeping as a result of their absorption in the hearing and chanting. Sankhya purvakanama gana nati bi. Kalava sani krito. I can't remember the rest of that verse. But anyway, it's described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the Sad Goswami Ashtak. How the Goswamis, as a result of their absorption in Krishna consciousness, they weren't worried about eating. You know, Raghunath Das would survive on just a little bit of buttermilk. And the other Goswamis, Rupa and Sanatan, Jiva Goswami, they'd be absorbed in studying and writing books and preaching, and in that absorption sometimes they would forget to sleep. Now, of course, it's not recommended that we just give up, you know, stop sleeping. But this is an example, or these are examples of how one can transcend the material effect, the material influence, if you like, as a result of being absorbed in devotional service, being absorbed in the hearing and chanting. What is it? And yet the gopis are engaged in their regular duties at the same time. Interesting. They don't give up their regular duties, but they fully absorb themselves in Krishna consciousness by constantly meditating on Krishna, and doing so by remembering him, and they're able to remember him, or when they do remember him, then automatically they start to sing about him and to glorify him, and in this way they're able to remove any inauspiciousness. As I mentioned here in the purport, the gopis were absorbed in thought of Krishna. Matschitta. Right? Matschitta, this is what Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita. And were thus feeling his presence. Therefore they could joyfully sing. Because we may not feel Krishna immediately. And then sometimes we do. It's interesting how Krishna is very tricky. We're chanting Hare Krishna and Krishna reveals himself and we feel ecstasy. But then he disappears. And then because we can't forget the ecstasy of chanting and being with Krishna, then we're again searching out, looking for Krishna. And of course Krishna withdraws himself sometimes to pull the devotees towards him. And of course, that's what we're going to see in the next verse, which is described the song of the bee. It's actually these are very wonderful pastimes. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Yes, Dave.
The thing of Krishna, he's led and he feels separation. And he comes and goes, you know, throughout chanting. But did he appear in the holy names? He's always there.
Yes. Just as he's. Well, actually, in many respects, Krishna appears for us in many ways.
He appeared again 500 years ago, didn't he?
Yes. But how about in the Arch of Vigraha, in the form of the deity? He's always there, approachable. He actually is present in the hearts of the gopis in the Archavigraha form, because the Archavigraha can also exist in the mind. Right? There are nine types of is it nine or seven? I think it's more than six, maybe seven. Do you know? Recall? One of the, you know, form made out of sand, a form made out of jewels, wood, metal.
Stone.
Yep.
And the mind.
Yeah, so he's present in the minds of the gopis all the time because they're thinking of him. But we can approach Krishna in many different ways, actually, in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the form of his holy name, in the form of service to Krishna. Krishna's present in all of those things, in service to the devotees. Because Krishna says, I'm in the heart of the devotees. This is why we should always associate with the devotees, because in the association of the devotees, we'll get an opportunity to talk about Krishna. Huh?
So he never does leave.
No, Krishna doesn't leave. We just can't see him, that's all. Even if the devotees have faults, even if sometimes they're talking prajalpa, they're not talking about Krishna, still it's better to remain in the association of devotees, because at least with them at some point in time they will talk about Krishna, whereas everybody else they'll never talk about Krishna. Well, we should always stay in the association of devotees, because at least at some point in time, at least at 7:30 in the morning for Bhagavatam class, there will be some discussions about Krishna. We'll get an opportunity to appreciate Krishna's presence. But in fact, that's what Uddhava is saying to Nanda Maharaj and also to the gopis. You know, Krishna hasn't gone; he's present everywhere. Brahma Gyan, he's giving them. Of course, that's not necessarily going to be what they want to hear, because they're always thinking about Krishna anyway. They're saying, we wish we could forget Krishna. We can't stop thinking about Krishna. It's causing us great pain. We want to stop thinking about him. But that demonstrates the nature of the intimate association and relationship that the gopis have with Krishna. They cannot forget him. Even if they try, they can't. And in that way, then they demonstrate their, just like Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya would become so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that he would faint and fall on the ground, just like we see with the gopis. You know, when Uddhava returned back to Krishna, he said, the residents of Vrindavan are almost dead as a result of the fact that they're lying on the bank of the Jamuna and almost not breathing. Unconscious. Those are the symptoms of separation. So Lord Chaitanya would be like that also. He would fall unconscious and his body would extend, or the limbs would all withdraw into his body. You know, symptoms of ecstasy that we don't see. Not likely to see. Mahabhav. You don't see that in somebody other than Radharani and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then the devotees would wake him up, or they would chant Hare Krishna and they'd bring him back to external consciousness, and he would chastise them. What did you do that for? I was just with Krishna. I was just sporting with Krishna on Govardhan, and now you've brought me back here. What did you do that for? He start crying. Demonstrating that, that in the mood of separation from Krishna, actually there's union with Krishna. It's not what it appears to be. In the spiritual realm, things are not what they appear to be. And that's we'll see that in the discussions of the gopis in the Song of the Bee coming up.
Were the gopis aware that Krishna was always with them, even though that he left? Because
philosophically, yes,
yeah. Because they ended up cursing the Akura for
taking him away.
So.
Yeah. Philosophically, they could understand that point. They're great devotees, so they can understand the philosophy. That doesn't mean that they like it, that he took away Krishna. but they're they're example, you know, they're the emblem of pure devotional service. And you know, not that, oh, Krishna, now you're not with me, I'm not going to do any service for you anymore. I'm not going to, you know, just give up. But rather they became more deeply absorbed and more deeply, more intimately connected with Krishna. Right? And it's interesting, actually, because Prabhupada makes a point that in the example of the Goswamis, it's not at any point that they thought, oh, now we've got Krishna. You know, they're always thinking, where is Krishna? Hey, Radhe, Braja Devi ki, hey, Nanda Shuno Kutaha, where are you? Govardhana, what is it? Goshantav, that's it. Goshantav, Savato, Brajapure, Kadaya, Mahavi, Velo. Where are you? Are you on the banks of the Jamuna, Kalindi? Are you on Govardhan Hill? Where are you? This was their mood in separation. So that mood of separation is actually what brings one close to Krishna. That's embodied in the mood of the, or that the gopis are embody that same mood, right? Of where is Krishna? Why did you take Krishna away? In fact, this is what they, when they saw the, in these next verses after this, when they saw the chariot of Uddhava, they thought, ah, Guru has come back. And so they're angry. They're feeling angry. Perhaps this is a Kuru who's come back. The one who fulfilled Kamsa's desire. Kamsa's servant, in other words. Kamsa's servant's come back. The one who stole Krishna away from us. Anything else? Sorry, I missed that, the first bit.
Because we desire to enjoy material.
Yeah.
We are experiencing a kind of separation from Krishna.
Yeah.
So is there a sense when...
It's not the same separation as the separation of the gopis, but it's separation nevertheless. Certainly pain and pleasure become frustrating, right? I don't know if you've noticed. Hey? And so we're looking for something better. And as is demonstrated by the gopis here, in their thinking about Krishna, rising early, worshipping Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, doing all of the things that we would normally do in the morning, right? Then amangalam nirasyate. Nirasyate means it's all dissipated. So if we want to dissipate the amangala, the inauspiciousness of material existence, that's done by following in the footsteps of the gopis, actually, right? And for us, you know, means rising early, going for Mangalartik, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing the Bhagavatam. Basically, you know, Prabhupada engages us in the Panchanga Bhakti of the five very potent activities of devotional service, which when performed, even without faith, as described in the Nectar of Devotion, even without faith, if we perform those activities and we don't have faith in them even, they'll still connect us to the ananda feature of bhakti. Right? Even if we don't have faith in them. Chanting Hare Krishna, if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll get connected, you'll get a bit of the nectar. That's what we're looking for. Right? Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam puranam ritas vardhanam. It's the nectar for which we're always anxious. So just by chanting Hare Krishna with the devotees, then we feel enthused. By seeing the deity, even if we don't have faith, even if we're confused about the identity of the deity, if we come and see the deity regularly, then we'll become enthused. It just happens automatically. If we hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we may not have faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but if we hear it regularly, we become satisfied.
Tapasya?
It is tapasya. You have to rise early, you have to worship the deity, sit still for an hour, just hear, you know, and our mind's going all over the place. That's an austerity. Even though I noticed it these days, certainly as a younger devotee, how even after chanting 16 rounds and struggling with the mind, the mind's still agitated. But then after greeting the deities, worshipping the spiritual master, then hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, my mind will become very peaceful. Maybe that's because breakfast was 5 minutes away. 5 minutes away, and then we'll be breakfast. Ah, great, I can enjoy. So, the association of the devotees, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, performing kirtan, worshipping the deity, residing in a temple, in a sacred place, in other words, or at least certainly creating an atmosphere of devotion in our house that also creates a sacred place. These five activities performed even without faith connect us to Krishna, to that bliss, if you like. So, you know, we are looking for pleasure in the material world. But we're looking for pleasure in the material world, but what happens? We don't get it. Yeah, we get suffering. Or if there's some pleasure, it lasts but only for a little while. And then it's back again to struggle. You know, Prabhupada gives the example of the dunking chair. Have you heard of the dunking chair? It's a sort of a medieval practice. If you know, somebody is a naughty, they tie him to a chair and then dip him into the pond on the end of a stick, big, you know, like a seesaw, then dip him in. And then just as he's spluttering and gasping for air, just almost about to drown, and they pull him out of the water. Oh, that's great. And then back in again. You know, that breath of air is fantastic. So that's what we call pleasure in the material world. Boom, then back in for more suffering. So when the devotees come in, when we come into the association of the devotees, and you see this often with many devotees, they come into the association, then it's sort of like, oh, this is what I've been missing. This is what I've been looking for. All my life I spent looking for this, and I couldn't find it anywhere. But now in the association of the devotees, I've discovered what it is that I was looking for. The real Ananda, Purnamrita Svardhanam, Pratipadam, this is what I've been looking at. Amrita, the Purnamrita, the complete nectar. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. By chanting Hare Krishna, by hearing the Bhagavad, by just by engaging in devotional service, then the pleasure that we're looking for, we find it. This is why it's recommended. This is why in the Nectar of Devotion, it's interesting. In the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami recommends, here, do this, but don't do this. So there's things that, because the access to the Amrita is quite readily accessible, quite readily available. But our association and practice, our activities in the material realm are offensive. And so they cut us off from that Amrita. They cut us off from Krishna. So therefore, Rupa Goswami has done us a favour and he's pointed out, well, here's all of the things that you need to do positive. But watch out for these things, because these things block that connection to the spiritual. But because we are such blockheads under the influence of the modes of nature, then and habituated, we're just bad habits. It's hard to create good habits, but it's not so difficult to fall into bad habits and then keep perpetuating them. And so therefore we're recommended to stay in association with devotees, to follow the order of the spiritual master. Because in that association then, we're almost by peer group pressure, we're forced to behave ourselves properly. Without that association, what happens? And we just go back into bad habits. We just fall back into our bad ways. So Rupa Goswami has very kindly pointed these things out to us so that we can, not have to be again put back into the dunking chair for a little rectification. Right? That's what it was for. Put a person in the stocks, then people come along and throw rotten tomatoes and stuff. So it's a punishment. That's the material energy. Mama Maya Duratya, Krishna says, it's very difficult going when one's working under the influence of the material energy. When one surrenders to Krishna. However, Mayamitam Tarantite, then one can overcome the influence of the material energy quite easily by surrendering to Krishna. So that's that process that Rupa Goswami has given us in the Nectar of Devotion. And we see that in the morning program and in the evening program that Prabhupada's given us, we've got that connection. So that we can again feel our connectedness to Krishna. Alright? How's Lord Jagannath going? He needs presents. Cheer him up. What does he need?
Cards,
flowers, honey, and he may require some other things too. If you want to know, have a chat with the Chincharupa.
Hot water bottle?
Possibly. Yeah, now he's got a heater on in his room. Yeah. It's not that cold. Sometimes in India you get a cold even when it's hot. You don't need to put the heater on. It usually happens to me when I'm in India after about 3 or 4 weeks, I get a cold. Can't avoid it. Even though it's hot. Because, your body just can't work out what's going on. Anything else? Who's feeling hungry? Me too.
Gandharva Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.